morning, everyone. Welcome to Glen Arbor. Glad that you're here. And people, I'm sure, will file in just a few moments. We're going to talk about spiritual listening today. And so most of the time, you're going to be listening to me or singing music or whatever we're going to be doing. We have some exercises today we're going to try. And so let's pray and welcome the Lord to the service. Lord, thank you so much for this day, this morning, that we can remember you. We can learn about how to listen to others, how to listen to ourselves, and how to listen to you. We just ask that you'd bless this time, bless the music, and as we worship you this morning in spirit and truth, in your name we pray. Amen.
Hi, Dean.
Good morning, everyone. Had just a few announcements for you. Reminder for most of the schools in the area and for us in town, this is spring break week, so we are not having our normal children's programs. There is no Awana this week. Is teen group meeting this week? That's right. And the biggest announcement is we are hosting our GCLI, which is Great Commission Leadership Institute, conference this weekend, which is Friday and Saturday. There's information in your bulletin on how you can register. So what that is the five churches in our Eastern Plains region from Indianapolis to Dubuque, Iowa, are going to gather here, and we're going to talk about several things about making disciples and some of the principles of how to live your faith in a country where it seems like there's less and less spiritual involvement. So so if you haven't signed up for that, please do. And just remind, no Awana this week because of that, or teen group. So I had a just something I wanted to share. I've been thinking about what a hero is and what makes people seen as a hero. And I've been reading a book called In Harm's Way. It's about actually the sinking of the USS Indianapolis. And it was torpedoed after it had just dropped off the fissionable material for the nuclear bombs they dropped in Japan. And it got torpedoed and through to a mishap in the American Navy, no one noticed that the ship didn't show up. And these men are in the water for 4 going on 5 days. No one noticed they were late. And as God intervened in a pretty unique area, this pilot named, so no one knows these men are in the water trying to live. There's shark infest, terrible story, awful story to read, or probably worse to live. But this pilot named Chuck Gwynn, he had been flying this Lockheed Ventura, which is a twin-engine bomber. They were looking for submarines, and had this antenna that was a new experimental antenna, and it just kept breaking loose, and it was beating the aircraft and denting the outside of the fuselage. And the pilot says, "I'm going to go back and see if we can figure this out and fix this." So he gets out of his seat. "Can you fly?" And he walks to the back of the aircraft, and they're trying to figure out how to stop this antenna from denting the fuselage anymore. And so the pilot's looking out of the back of the aircraft, and he goes, is that an oil slick? What is that?" And that's how the 321 men were saved, because of this pilot. Now, every 2 years, I think, the survivors, this 300 men, would gather in Indianapolis from what they had been through in the shark-infested waters. But the pilot's name, Chuck Gwynn, they saw him as their savior. As a matter of fact, they would rally around him and hug him, and he was often brought to tears just by the affection of all these men who saw him as the one person that saved them from certain death, that no one knew they were there. And they saw him as a hero. And he go, "I was just there." And so I was thinking about heroes and what makes a person a hero. And I was reading Colossians this morning. And this is Colossians 1:6. And Paul's talking to the church in Colossae. He says, "The gospel, which has come to you, just as in all the world is bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing since the day you heard it. So he's saying the gospel is causing fruit. The gospel, the ability to be saved and have a relationship with God, is bearing fruit in your lives. And here's the thought: just as you learned it from Epaphras, this guy Epaphras, I think, is a hero because he brought the truth. I think the way God measures things, boy, that's who he's. He isn't the truth, but he brought the truth and communicated it to the church. And I go, well, I need to value what a hero is. Like a person who brings the truth is that's such a valuable thing. So anyway, I thought I'd share that with you, my little quiet time thought for today. And you have to have a World War II story with that. So anyway, this is the time in our service where we do our offering. So the ushers are going to come forward. And at the same time, the children can go to their respective Sunday school rooms. Thank you.
All right. Well, good morning, everyone. And this is the beginning of a series I'm doing on spiritual communication, and this is all part of the Being Spiritual series. Mike started his on spiritual identity last week, and before that, Dean was talking about spiritual well-being. And so we're going to talk about communication and talking to one another. So one of the things you should prepare yourself for is we're going to do a couple exercises in communication with each other, and so if you want to run out screaming now, that would be the time. We communicate in a lot of different ways. We communicate with email and with texting, and now there's Facebook. There's all sorts of different things, but typically the most difficult is in communication verbally, just talking to each other. And one of the things that I thought was interesting was that there are, according to the internet, which knows all, is there's 7,000 languages that are estimated to be spoken around the world. 90% of them are languages are used by less than 100,000 people. Over a million people converse in 150 to 200 languages. That's the number I've heard typically, anywhere from 150 to 200. And 46 are spoken by one person. I'm not sure who those people are and how we know that they're speaking a different language, but we know. The most common language from this list is Mandarin, 14%. I was surprised by the numbers at how small they really were. Only 5 or 6% of the people in the world speak English. You know, welcome to the minority, kids. And then everything else is smaller than that. So very few people actually speak the same languages. So even listening to one another is difficult. So, and we communicate by many different ways. There's body language. You know, if we say, you know, yes, I really love that. You know, that would obviously they don't. Or facial expressions, hand gestures, the written word, right? And emotions. Those also are very various different ways that we communicate with each other. People have things to say. We have things to say to each other. I have things to say. You have things to say. Things that we want to communicate. And what's the most important thing? What is the most important thing that when you're saying something, what is the thing you mostly want from another person? Eye contact? Okay. But what do you want from them when you're done? To be understood. Right. Excellent. You don't have to agree necessarily, but I want to be understood. Why? Because it communicates respect and value. I want you to see where I'm coming from. If you can understand me, you can better respond to what, you know, however you're going to respond. How can we better understand and be understood? Well, listening, but not just listening, but listening spiritually. and we're going to go into that, by using basically the Holy Spirit and by bypassing our own nature, our normal ways of how we want to listen. So I'm going to move this so I can make sure, I'm going to watch Chris, make sure he's doing good things. How can we understand God and have a deeper relationship with Him? He is spirit, thus listening spiritually works better. How can we better understand ourselves and others? By listening to ourselves spiritually. And we're going to have all these are little exercises we're going to do. We're going to have three exercises. And the first one, the first one you'll need a partner for. So you can look around and it's not going to be that difficult. So don't freak out. But if you don't have a partner, I'll help you with that. But start thinking about who's going to be my partner for this first exercise so it doesn't look like a weirdo by myself. So we're going to talk about three things, and that is listening to others, listening to ourselves, and then listening to God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for that you listen to us, that you are spirit, and that you understand us better than anyone else. Help us to be able to understand others, ourselves, and you by listening better. Teach us today how to listen to what all three of those things are saying to us. In your name we pray. Amen. So the first area is listening to others. Have you ever been called, ever been in a conversation where someone says, you're such a good listener? You know, I'm sure it's happened at least once. Person pours out their heart to you, and they're like a total mess usually, and you don't know what to say, right? So you do the next best thing, you listen. But they feel so much better at the end of it, and in fact, they talk themselves into a solution, and you just sat there going, well, what happened? I guess I was a good listener, but I just didn't know what to do, so I listened. And you're praised, like, you're such a good listener, you're so good at this, thank you for all your help, and you didn't do anything. That's great, because that's exactly what you're supposed to do. Is be a good listener. But what you were doing was you were showing respect or you were showing honor to that person, letting them go through that. You were just there with them. You wept with those who wept. It's a rare time. And in honesty, we are great at listening when we don't know what to say. But when we have something to say, then we have a problem. Usually it's tougher with people we have a history with, right? That we're like family or friends or people who have heard us before. So how do we become really good spiritual listeners to all sorts of people, including our family and friends and those who have heard us? How do we really listen to what maybe where they're coming from? And I have three steps that we're going to go through. And the first step is access the Holy Spirit inside you. So what does that mean? If you're a believer in Christ, this means Christ lives in you. You have a helper and him who was promised. And I'm not going to show verses. I'm just going to show references. So you can look these up and I'll read them to you. And this is in John 14:26. It refers to the helper, the Holy Spirit. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send by my name, will teach you all things and bring you to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Those things that help us be like Christ are inside of us. And that's the Holy Spirit. Where do you usually start to get ready? When do we usually think when we get prepare ourselves to have a conversation, particularly a hard conversation? I'm not talking about, hey, how was your day? What's going on? You know, those kinds of things. You know, what's going on with, you know, Netflix and how many things, you know, I spent all night watching, catching up on my shows. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, you know, it's a conversation that's probably going to be hard, or you're going to get into a hard conversation, or someone's asking you to listen to them, okay? What do we usually do? Well, I'm going to let them have it. I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. I'm going to tell it like it is. Yeah. Because I shoot from the hip. You ever hear that? I shoot from the hip. Well, the only problem is, yeah, you haven't? Oh, yeah, it's a good one. You'll hear it eventually. I'm a straight shooter. Well, the problem with when you're a straight shooter is people shoot back, right? They are so selfish. What a loser. This is my house. What happens in my house? I say what goes on in my house. They have no idea what my problems are. That may be some of the things that may go through your mind. I know that I've had those thoughts. So as you begin a conversation, a difficult conversation, or for example, ministering to others or helping, or conversation particularly with your kids. So this will help you with your kids or your spouse or family members, whatever it is. Access the Lord. First, I would pray, Holy Spirit, help me understand this person better to help them for our relationship. Because what's the most important thing? Is it that you get your point across? No, it's your relationship with that other person. Step two, this is always popular, die. Well, what does that mean by that? This is our message as Christians, so, and it's popular. What is the first thing we learn about walking with Christ? If we have the Holy Spirit inside us, we have died to ourselves. We are dead. Others are more important. We died for them. So should you. If you call yourself a disciple, step one is to die. And I shared this verse one time at teen group, and they thought I had made it up. Do nothing from rivalry. This is Philippians 2:3. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others as more significant. Other translations say more important than yourselves. There are more verses on being quiet, we'll say shutting up, than speaking by far. James 1:19 says, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Another from Proverbs. Proverbs is a great place if you wanted to learn how to listen. If you one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. That's a really good idea, is that make sure that you really understand what the other person is saying, because you will speak too quickly, and that has nothing to do with what they're talking about. I've had that happen. Because you really want to understand where they're coming from so that you can have really give them respect and understand where they're understand them so that you can give a proper response. And sometimes the response is, I understand. We complain that we get one-word answers from our teenagers, right? And why should we get anything else when we shut them down with our quick-witted and highly experienced response, right? We know what's really going on. They don't know what's out there. Well, neither do we, apparently. Step three, reflect and understand. And this is the real tool I want to, and there's whole books written on this, but this is a quick and easy tool to learn how to listen and also how to communicate very effectively, whether it's in business, at your work, in any, you know, even at dealing with different, I'll talk about that story in a little bit. So even in dealing with any kind of person in any kind of situation, this is really very helpful. There are several books out there that talk about this. One is called Getting to Yes. It's about negotiations. It's an older book. Listening for Heaven's Sake, which we've actually done together. We've done a program on that. And it gives much more detail on the specifics of this technique, but really it's very simple. How to Win Friends and Influence People. This is quite an old book, but it has this as an element in it by Dale Carnegie. So here it is. Here's the thing some people pay $100,000 to learn. Listen, then reflect with a question or statement of trying to understand. As someone is talking to you, ask them, is this what you mean? You know, are you saying this? Now, you certainly don't want to just regurgitate back what they've said, but refer to it in emotional. Reflect back what you've heard. Even if they're yelling or rude to you, that shows that you're not interested in an argument. Sounds like, here's an example, sounds like you feel that this person wants control over you. Is that correct? Is that right? Well, no, what I mean is, and it's okay if you're wrong. It's okay if you don't get it, nail it down, but you're getting to where they're at. You're trying to understand. Just you trying to understand helps that person that's speaking. Sounds like you want to do something different, but you don't know what. let's say your child says, "You always take her side." Okay, sounds like you feel that I don't value your opinion, right? It's getting behind what's being said, right? Usually people project, they're sending out, particularly if they're angry, they're sending out a defensive shot, you know, boom, to show you how angry they are. But really, what we want to do is what's really are you trying to say? What do you really feel? Because what you feel tells us what you believe. Is that what you're saying? What do we typically do? We say, sounds like you always take her side. What we typically say is, no, I don't. You're being unreasonable, right? Well, that's not really getting to yes. That's not really getting to understanding. That's not really listening to what a person's really trying to tell you, what their emotions are really trying to tell you. It's hard to do that, but it's the best way to get to, I feel like I'm out of control. Can you give me an example of what you're talking about? Like, if that's all they say. Wait for a break and pick a topic. Like, let's say some people, they go on in an unending run-on sentence. All the problems in their life, like for half an hour. Just pick one thing. Well, sounds like back then, 15 minutes ago, you said this. Is that what you're saying? And they'll just continue. Wait for a break and pick a topic if they keep talking. Maybe ask for an example. One of the things my dad taught me, he says, if you want to control a conversation or really control it, and I'm not saying to take advantage of it, but to just control it so that there's understanding, always respond with a question. Always respond with a question. And that shows that you're listening. Express in terms of feelings if you can, rather than just facts. Reflect until you can move on to the next statement. Reflect, does this really make sense? So one might be, I'm feeling like life is really out, you know, I lost my glasses. I can't find a job. And, the dog pooped in the kitchen again. You know, well, sounds like you feel like life's out of control. Yeah. I mean, usually, yeah, that's exactly it. Or, no, what I really feel is this. So what I'd like you to try now is we're going to do a little exercise, is pick a partner. I'm just going to give you just a few minutes to do this. Pick someone, and you guys can talk to each other. I'd like one person to share how was your day or something you want to share about, something you really want someone to listen to, and then you switch sides. And then what I want you to do is reflect back to them what you heard, you know, and just practice that. And you can practice this a little later as well. But let's just take 5 minutes, pick a partner. If you don't have a partner, I'll come down and help you. But try to find a partner. You can move around. It's okay. Pick a partner. Go ahead. Start doing it. And find someone to just meet with. So just practice this. So tell somebody about your day. You guys are done already? You done already? Just talk about what happened yesterday. Oh. Pick another day. Okay, if you haven't done so, make sure you switch around. Make sure now become the listener. If you were the speaker now, if you haven't already done so, make sure you switch. Okay, we're going to wrap it up here in just a sec. Give you five more seconds, a few more seconds. Okay, let's wrap that up. I'm sorry it's so short, because it is sometimes once you get into it, you're like, oh, this is great. Someone's finally listening to me. Okay, stop listening to each other. Okay, now you can stop. I know. I see that. Stop talking. Yeah, no, you have to listen to me now.
So what you're saying is that you're
not. That's right. Now shut up. No. So what did you guys feel? Did you guys feel like you were listened to at all?
Yeah.
All right. Good. Did you feel, was that little, maybe has anybody ever had that done that with anybody before, or you never done that before? You have, okay. Was this a new experience for anybody? Anybody ever not do this before? Okay, all of you have done it before. Okay. Did you feel listened to in general? Okay. Feel like you could, like you wanted to talk more? Yeah, Chris did. Chris couldn't stop him. So it kind of opens the door for that and allows you to not only be a good listener, but to be listened to. And this would be one area that we could almost spend the rest of the time on, but now we're going to move on to another type of spiritual listening, and that is listening to ourselves. And you might say, okay, that seems easy because I listen to myself all day. You know, boy, and I'm so boring. At least this, I'm speaking for myself, but I think we actually try to avoid really sitting quietly with our thoughts. Mike shared that a song by last week that kind of illustrates this by 21 Pilots, and the character was alone with their thoughts because someone had stolen their radio, right? And so they were horrified that they had to sit in silence and listen to themselves. Because why? Why is that? Because it is scary to listen to ourselves. Because all the stuff we bury emotionally could come out. If we stop to smell the roses of the graveyard of our mind, the things we thought were dead may unearth themselves like a zombie apocalypse of emotion. And you're that guy, right? We may remember or feel things we don't want to remember or feel. But to be a spiritual disciple of Christ means that he has areas he wants to clean up, right? David understood this. He said this in Psalm 139. There's a reference. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there's any grievous way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. You would say, no, some people have said, no, Greg, God does not want us to revisit the past or bring up all that painful stuff. He does not do that. Oh, really? The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." He said, "Feed my sheep. Why would he say that then? Why did he do it three times? Because he had told him, "You're going to deny me three times." He went right for the jugular, and it was in the past. With the woman at the well, "You have five husbands. Go and sin no more." Deuteronomy 9:7. "Remember, do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness." There's definitely examples where he likes to stir up the pot in of our hearts and even in our own lives. You wonder what trials are for. You never notice that they tend to be the same thing over and over again. So how do we better listen to ourselves? And this is a little easier. This is you can do by yourself, and we're going to do that by ourselves. First of all, you got to get away from all the electronics. You got to let your radio be stolen. You got to get away from the iPods and iPods are gone, but the phones and the iPads and all those and television. Get rid of the distractions, the electronics, the radio, the books, etc. We have to turn it off. That's scary, but it has to be done. Get alone. That should be self-explanatory. And write it down. And so this is something I've started. I used to journal a lot when I was younger. I stopped doing it for a while. And I started it again with the idea of this, with this in mind, is a lot of times we like to write down verses or we journal as part of our quiet time. And now I'm suggesting we journal. If you do it, that's great. If you don't, it's kind of like a diary, and it is quite healthy, and there's several references that talk about this. It really opens up your mind because you have to think about what to write. What happened today? Well, I broke my glasses, and this really happened, and I was so angry because it was the only one I had left. Why was I so angry? Because I thought, God is out to get me. Whoa, that's something. What happened today? Well, you might feel, this is how I messed up again. Or this is what I felt. This is what I was anxious about again. This is what my relationship with that person is like. He or she makes me so angry. What do I really feel? And it's not intended for you to just sit there and say, well, I'm such a loser, I blew it again, or I'm such... It's not to just write that out, but it's not to judge yourself or to lie yourself, but really listen to what your heart is saying, because that is what you really believe, right? So write it down. Another verse talks about that. As in water, this is from Proverbs 27:19, as in water face reflects face, so the heart of man reflects man. Because the heart is about emotions, when we talk about heart, we're talking about our emotional status, we tend not to trust them. Particularly in Christian circles, we talk about the heart is a deceiving, most deceptive of all. However, emotions can't be in a vacuum. So they have a logic of their own. They don't exist without reason. So if I hold this up and say, I want you to hate this thing as hard as you can, you can't do it, right? It's like, why? You need a reason. You need something to be there. They reflect what we truly believe. You want to know what's wrong with you, you say? Listen to yourself sometime. Your emotions will tell you where the fire is. So here's our next exercise. We're going to journal. So there's some paper in front of you. You can grab any kind of piece of paper you want. There's some pencils there. There should be. If you don't, you can grab them from the pews in front of you or behind you. And I want you to just write down some thoughts of what you might be feeling, maybe from your day yesterday or this morning or anything. Whatever you want to write about. Just write them down about what you're thinking. We'll take a few moments to just do that. So go ahead and do that. Write it down as if you were writing in your diary or your journal. So let's do that. Give you another minute to write something. Okay, so I'm not going to ask you for feedback on this just yet because the second part of this will kind of play into this. So hold on to that right now. And so you kind of listen to yourself, and you could look at this a little bit. You might be surprised at some of the emotions that you put down, what you might have thought, what you might be saying. They might be things that are very familiar with you, very familiar to you, or not familiar to you. So. But as you do this more, it might bring up things that you haven't thought of before in your own life. And they are something that maybe you might want to bring before the Lord. So I will share one thing. So particularly I mentioned glasses. So I have a little story. So these glasses broke about a month ago. And they're the only way I can see people. So, or drive or walk or whatever, you know. I'm kind of making that up. I can drive without them, but I can't just read the sign. So, oh, look, people. You know, so, and I think that without them, it was kind of giving me headaches. So I thought, well, oh boy, these are expensive. You know, I don't want to pay another $350 for lenses and frames and everything. And they broke right at the bridge, you know. It was, like, very difficult. And they're made of whatever they're made of, some polyethylene titanium super alloy that's very expensive, you know. And so I sent them to I found this place called framefixers.com, and I thought, wow, this looks very professional. So I sent them in, and really to make a long story short, I found out it's just a single person doing this. And, you know, I called them, and they said, yeah. Eventually I got into this huge email discussion with them about, you know, when it's just one person and you open up the store of the internet, you probably will get people, you know, who doesn't have broken glasses or ever broken glasses before in the country? You know, everybody's going to send him stuff, right? And if you're just thinking, oh, I'll get one or two a week, he says, well, I got 19 this morning. 19? That you got to fix in 2 days, you know? So it was clear that he was overwhelmed and so on. And I thought, and at one point I thought it was a scam, but I thought, I'll never see my glasses again. That's what I thought. I even told Linda that. I said, I think might be a scam. But why would you scam someone for $68? Like, you know, it's just pathetic. So anyway, I was writing all that. And it's like other things that seemed to be going wrong. So, Lord, I'm not sure that I trust you in these little things. So I just wrote that down. And that was in my journal. So what do I do with that? Lord, I don't trust you with those little things, even with little things like silly little glasses, let alone, you know, other big things like maybe sicknesses or what are we going to do for the, where are we going to go on this trip? Or how are we going to reach this person for the gospel? So you might say, I pray to God, you know, about stuff. I ask him for things, you know, give me things and so on. But do you listen to what he says? And you might say, well, I don't hear voices or God's voice, and I don't either particularly. And you might say, I would love to hear from God. I'd love to hear him really speak to me. I don't think, when I really think about that, I'm not sure that I would want that. Moses certainly didn't. And look at everybody that ever had that happen. They go, whoa, yeah. Moses did, and I wouldn't call him lucky. I mean, he was freaking out, right? He was going, I don't want to do this. I don't really want to be asked to do this thing. See, when he speaks, it's not just thunder outside, it's thunder inside, which I think is worse. It is life-changing. He may not want to have our life, we may not want to have our life changed all that much. It's very frightening. We want the answers we want, not what he wants to tell us, maybe. And that's what's scary. Let's look at an example of someone that listened to God. This is in Samuel. And I actually show the verse here, Samuel, 1 Samuel 3:9. Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Samuel says, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." So what can we learn from that when we talk about listening to the Lord? And I have three things, three steps following a pattern. Prepare your mind. So have a servant's heart, in a sense, like Samuel had. "Lord, speak, Lord, whatever comes is going to come. Be ready to do what he asks or believe what he says. Bring everything to him so that when you write in your journal, you see something you don't like or want help with, well, bring it up. Lord, I don't trust you with these little things. I don't trust you in the big things. Lord, I'm so angry at this person or that person or you. I want to talk to you about that. What should I do? I feel angry about this, or I feel angry about that, or I'm hurt by this." The next thing would be prepare your heart. Feel the emotions you want him to address, and he'll address them. Lay them at his feet, and finally prepare your soul. I would say listen and be changed. So, and I'm not saying you're going to hear a voice, but for me, it's kind of an idea comes to mind, an impression, a feeling. A verse usually comes to mind, or a song. Many, many different ways you could be communicated with that the Lord is communicating through the Holy Spirit. Well, how do I know it's from God and not some weirdo or, you know, a bad spirit or my own mind? I think the best way to know is it resolves. It brings comfort, or you just will know. Personal, it's personal to you, and it's usually not about other people. It's usually about you, because it is. This is about you. This is especially just for you and communication with you and you alone. The idea here is to be willing and open to him who's your Lord, not just communicating one way, but communicating the other way, is listening to what God may have to say to you. So, and for me, the Lord just says, I care about the little things. You know, I don't know why that thought came to mind, but he does. He does care about the little things. He cares about the lilies of the field. He cares about stupid glasses. He cares about just dumb things that we think, really, God shouldn't care himself about that, but because he cares about you, he cares about these little things too. He cares about you. So we're going to do our last exercise. I know we're going to go a little long. And I would like you to just look at your journal entry. Look at it. And is there anything you want to listen to the Lord about? Just say, "Lord, speak to me about that." And we're just going to take 1 minute, 1 or 2 minutes, and I want you to bring that before. Prepare your heart, mind, and soul. You get the idea. I'm not splitting the hairs on what those, if you, whatever that is for you, your hearts, you're all one person. And bring it before the Lord. Let's just be quiet for a little bit and pray to him. Lord. Thank you that you care about the little things and the big things in our lives, that you create little storms in us. And we just ask that you would be throughout the rest of our lives, or as we even go this week, that you'd be speaking to us and we'd be listening, that we'd be listening to others and to ourselves, and changing the way we think and deal with others, that we really do get to be like you in this, in listening, being a spiritual listener. In these things we pray in your name. Amen. Let the music team come up and finish our songs for us.
Thanks, Greg. Appreciate it, considering some things here. Let's go ahead and, as we're meditating on what we've just been through, let's go ahead and stand and sing and lift these things up before the Lord in praise.